Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
But this morning, we're sharing things that I believe set us apart as the kind of church God's called us to be at Living Word. There are a lot of kinds of ministry. People are called to do different things. Churches are called to fill different needs in the kingdom of God. So I believe that churches can have specific missions, but within that mission, there are unchangeable things that a church should be. And we're looking at the unchangeable things because those are the main things. What we choose to do while we're in ministry, to make a difference in the world, to win people to Jesus, to grow the kingdom, is up to who does God draw to the church to be a part of that church, because it's people in the church that do the work of the ministry. But the pastor's job is to present the heart of God for that church. What is the vision? What is the purpose? What are the mainstays, I call it? What are the ropes that hold the tent in place? And those for Living Word all come from the Scripture, the written Word, what the Bible, what we call the Bible or the Logos, Word of God. We've been sharing that Jesus is the personification of the written Word. He came to be that Word, and we're gonna jump off there this morning and build a bit on knowing Jesus and what knowing Jesus looks like once we've been saved, what it looks like to keep growing in our knowing and understanding of Him. You know, I'm a walking, talking person who has experienced many great and mighty things because the Word of God has become the highest authority in my life. I've learned that if I will look to the Word and then pray in the name of Jesus what the Scriptures say, I will eventually have what I say. Now, the eventually sometimes is quick, sometimes not so quick. Sometimes there's a season, and I'm going to try to give you some ways today to apply your faith to your life. Your faith is not according to your word first, but making your word God's word. If your faith is in just what you have to say, you will be sorely disappointed. But if you'll put your faith in saying, you putting in your mouth God's word, we learned last week, He identifies us as His children as soon as we do that. And He is fiercely in favor of His children. He recognizes us as a family, and we tap into a covenant being in God's family. We are saved that way by believing the word that we hear, confessing it with our mouth, and believing it in our heart. We accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. Everything we receive from God will happen the same way because we're in a new covenant. Jesus is the official of the new covenant. He's the one that calls it. And He's so generous, He gave us His name so that we could use His name in line with God's word and have whatsoever we say. But it isn't just that we're saying our thing. That doesn't work. We must say what God says our thing is. What does the Scripture say? So it becomes incredibly important to learn what the Bible says. So much so that the New Testament says faith comes by hearing, but not just hearing, hearing and hearing God's word. You got two kinds of hearing. You've got the hearing that I hope is going into your ears right now, unless you are completely deaf. Then you're trying to read my lips, and I have learned if I speak with greater enunciation, those who are reading my lips get a better opportunity to read all the words. But I'm out of that discipline. So if you're hearing my words with your natural ears, that's a beginning, but that's a tickler for the real thing. When he says hearing, he's talking about hearing with our ears, but and hearing means we put it in our heart. And I want to tell you the great secret that I've learned about living by faith. Hearing is not enough. The and hearing is critical. The and hearing for me doesn't always happen when I'm hearing the preacher. It usually happens after I've heard the preacher and I'm given some consideration to what I just heard. The and hearing is me deciding, how do I apply this to my life? The and hearing is, now do I really believe this or do I need to get in a position to believe it? Is one verse enough for me to believe it? I've learned that one verse will be enough, but I like to find more than one. Well, I've learned to make it easy. I've learned to be a better believer than I am anything else, a believer in God's word. Well, that's my aim. If I can believe it, I will begin to see it in my heart. I'll begin to speak it out of my mouth. And Scripture says that I can have, I will have, whatever I say. Now, I've learned the hard way. I can't just say any old thing that I want. I need to find out what does God say and does what I want line up with what God says, because I'm in a covenant. The covenant is the basis for me getting what I say, not my desires. I have to make sure my desires line up with the covenant of God. Now that takes some learning. That takes some patience. And that takes occasionally failure on our part because we did not initiate it God's way. So many times when people say faith didn't work, it's because they didn't do something they were supposed to do. And when we honestly want to do it God's way, we work to learn what that looks like. I've not learned everything the easy way. I'd like to think that, but I'd rather say more likely I've learned more things the hard way than the easy way. Now, I hope you're an easier learner than I was. I try to teach the word that way. Well, we're going to jump off this morning in 2 Corinthians 4:18 because it presents a conflict. And living a life where you put your faith in God ultimately will present you with conflicts. You are going to be seeing things circumstantially that seem to dictate your future that might be different than the prayer you just prayed to affect your future. You might see something in God's word that it says is for you, but you have not experienced that yet. The life of faith is filled with conflict, particularly on the front end of it, because the life of faith is displacing the life of circumstances. Our faith in God will displace circumstances. That's what faith is all about. Getting what the Scripture says we are supposed to have because of what Jesus did on the cross and that He gave us the authority to use His name is a setup for you to have conflict. Because eventually you will hear me preach or teach something that you will say to yourself, I don't know if that's for me. I don't know if I can have that. I don't know if I believe that. My life is not about that. And you'll have a conflict. Then you have to decide whether to believe your life experience or your education or your moments, pain in your body or whatever it is, whether you are going to make that circumstance the highest authority or God's word the highest authority. When you choose God's word, you then express your faith by saying so. That's how God looks at faith. When we start saying it, He accepts it. When we think it, He does not accept that. We have to take our thoughts and put them into words because He said, we'll not have what we think, we'll have what we say. But it's saying something, being convinced. I don't know about you, but in some things it takes more convincing to convince me. I know that's why I've learned some things the hard way. It's to be honest with you, spiritual things were hard for me to get a hold of at first. Well, I was a very logical, rational person. If it looked like a duck, that was enough for me. That's a duck. It didn't have to quack or anything else. I was just like, I've seen that before. I know what it sounds like. It doesn't. I don't have to wait for the sound. Spiritual things I've learned that I have to step back and say, I'm going to let God convince me through His word, and I'm going to choose to believe before I understand. Did you know you can do that? We do that throughout elementary school. We learn our ABCs without understanding how important they're going to be the rest of our lives, but we learn them and we recite them and we say them. Then we gain understanding as we go, and they call that language. And we can build language skill, spiritual things are much the same. As a teacher, I can present to you a truth, but it becomes wisdom in your life as you choose to apply it, and as much as you choose to apply it. So when faith doesn't work, there was an application error. Something just didn't get keyed into your system right. You have a spiritual system, the kingdom of God in you. It's the way God governs everything in heaven and earth. And even he's taken authority over things under the earth in hell. Our life in God depends on us understanding his kingdom and his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. But he wants us to adopt them so our life will be higher than it would otherwise be. Jesus called that the more abundant life. So this is foundational. This is fixed. This is a part of who your pastor is. This is an unchangeable, unshakable truth to me that is radically and continues to overwhelmingly change my life. Now, this is 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we, this was written to a church by the Apostle Paul, while we look not at the things which we see, we are the people that look at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are passing away, but the things that are not seen are eternal. It's a picture into the faith realm. It's a picture into spiritual living. It's an invitation for those that are curious to find out more about God. We look to the things that are not seen. Well, that's apparent. We don't do that with our natural eyes. Because we can see with our spiritual eyes. Our spiritual eyes are opened by the hearing of God's word. And it opens our imagination to possibilities we didn't know we had. It opens up our heart to believe that God is real, that he is concerned about our life, that he is moving, ever moving, to make his word come true in our life. He just needs us to choose him over what we see. His truth. Now I can say, well, I believe that, so I'm just going to pray in the name of Jesus. No, you want the bit of truth that displaces the life experience or the circumstance or the logic you're in. And if you don't get the word to displace your logic, you're only going to get as best as your logic can see, because you're going to be trapped by the other set of eyes. More times than not, when I have missed out on something that I prayed for, it was because I did not get my spiritual eyes opened wide enough. And what I mean by that is enough scripture to choose to believe it in my heart. When my heart is convinced, something happens to me where I know. It's a done deal. And people can try to talk me out of it, and they will not win the battle because I've already won the battle. See, the battle isn't with people. It isn't with flesh and blood. Scripture tells us so. It's with principality and power. So when I can't get my mind wrapped around it, I recognize that there's a devil trying to limit me to not see with my spiritual eyes. And the best way to see is you know God's word forward and backward, and you spend a lifetime learning what it is, and then the devil can't stop you from getting anything. Why, you learn what the scripture says. So I want to tell you, the value of you getting the word is like the biggest thing in your life, or you're going to miss out on something God has. And it's a worthwhile pursuit. I shared with you my purpose again, my heart to study lots and lots and lots. Why, that's how we become a workman that needs not be ashamed. And as a pastor, if you don't do that, you'll be ashamed before Jesus. As the church, I think you have more grace to study the word. But I'm going to tell you that it's with everything in my heart, I want you to learn what the scripture says, because that's what you have. And as you begin to say it, that's what you will have in your life. See, we're going to see everything that's in the word for us, we're going to have in heaven. But he said, if we'll believe it in our heart and say it with our mouth while we're here, we can have it here too. Now, that's just the pure form of God's means of prosperity. Why, he wants us to see we're covenant people, and he prospers us because we're in covenant. Not just because we desire. No, we desire what the covenant gives us. And for the reason the covenant gives it to us. That we're stewards and responsible in the kingdom of God, not just filling our own list of desires in this life. See, sometimes people take faith and twist it and turn it into give me God whatever I want. That's not covenant. That's selfishness. That is a message popular with some, but it's not the full truth. It's a twisted truth. Twisted truth turns into a lie. So we're presenting faith as a truth because it'll work for you. Why? God does not change anything. Doesn't change his mind. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. I learned that when I was about 4 years old. I remember learning it in Sunday school. I understood what it meant by the time I was 10. I live by it today. If I can find something in God's word and it says it's for me, then it's for me. I don't care who thinks it's not. I don't care if my body sometimes hurts and says, it ain't for you today. You were stupid yesterday. I'll say I was stupid yesterday, but I'm wise today. Amen. His word's still for me. Right. Now, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. It was the person of Jesus. The same was in the beginning with God. Talking about the Trinity being together in our beginning. All things were made by him. Jesus made you, whether you know it or not. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's the conflict I'm talking about. When you first hear the word, you may not comprehend it. One of my most popular sayings to the Holy Spirit in the early days of ministry was, I don't understand that. And then my next sentence was, but you will teach me so I can understand that. Why? Because I'm displacing darkness. When you're ignorant to God's word, you're walking in a level of darkness. And I kept discovering, gee, I don't know enough. And it prompted me first with embarrassment. Second, with a repentance and admission, I need to know more. Why? I'm having problems comprehending God's word in the early stages. Why am I not getting this? Why don't I understand this when I read it? The answer is here. Darkness can't comprehend it. So I started to say, all right, Jesus, you're the light. Shine some light on this with the help of your Holy Spirit. Be my teacher and show me something. And what did I do? I broke the power of darkness with Jesus' name. See, when we have trouble comprehending, don't think there's a problem with your physical brain. You're going to learn the word of God and the truth of God's word because you're a spirit on the inside. And your spirit, with the Holy Spirit's help, can understand every bit of the word. I had to learn that. I thought for a while, there's just something wrong with my ability to uptake the word. Well, I've since learned there's nothing wrong with my ability. I need my teacher. Why? I'm learning something foreign to me. I've been walking in darkness. When the light shines into the darkness, the darkness has to give. It has to go. It has to be expelled. I have to choose to believe that process is happening in my life. So I started to pray, Lord Jesus, in my generation, let me be one of the people that walk in the highest level of revelation knowledge of your word that ever has been. I desire that. Somebody heard me pray that once and say, that's really an arrogant prayer. I said, it's really not arrogant. It's really God's desire for every person. I just have the boldness to believe it, and I've come from a dark enough place that I've learned to really believe it. Why? It's hard for me to get a hold of God's word at first. Now it's the easiest thing. It's the easiest thing for me to believe. It's like the easiest thing in my life. I want that for every person that hears me today. The darkness comprehended it not. Now, in the early days of Bible school, we had an afternoon class called Prayer and Healing School, and I made it my aim to be there every day because I wanted to learn how to pray. I recognized I needed to know more about that. And I wanted to experience healing myself so that I could preach it. I didn't want to preach it without experiencing it myself. I was a very sickly young person. I went to Bible school and had asthma and allergies and all kind of issues and problems. So I started going to Prayer and Healing School every day. And for a whole year, I don't know that I marked a whole lot of change. I had the breathing stuff that you do and the medicines and everything. When I needed them, I would use them. And my doctors had always said, you will your whole life be this way, and you need to not live in a climate where there's pollen, and you're allergic to corn, and you're allergic to soybeans, and you're allergic to wheat, and you just need to stay away from the farm belt. I don't know where you're going to live, but you need to live away from dust and pollen and all of these grains. And great. Where's that place? You know, the moon, maybe. But I remember going through Prayer and Healing School, and one day saying, because it was called out, for breathing issues, and I stood to my feet, and I thought, I'm going to pray this prayer of faith, and I'm going to go about my business, and I don't know, I still used the meds and stuff off and on. I didn't notice any big change, but I kept hearing the healing word every day. 5 days a week, every day, there'd be a sermon on healing. Well, you know, there's only so many healing passages in the Bible. So pretty soon after going for a two-hour session every day, I could recite most of them. I had a little trouble putting up chapter and verse because I was dealing with dyslexia, and I'd twist the chapter and verse around. They said, oh, there's not a Mark 23. There's a Mark 11, 23, but not a 23, 11, stuff like that. So, well, never mind. It's in Mark, you know. Then I got to where I'd try to commit them to memory because I have to process numbers a little bit differently. But I started to recognize, boy, this word's really getting in my heart. I believe I could go out and teach on healing. And I remember thinking, I want proof of the pudding in me first. How can you be passionate about teaching something without proof? See, I wasn't filled with faith yet. I wanted proof so I could teach faith for healing instead of teaching faith for healing and getting my proof. See, Scripture requires you usually to do it the other way around. You'll preach it before you get it many times, or share it before you get it. Share it with your friends before it's a reality in your life. But along about then, in the second year, I made the same commitment, and my work schedule revolved around me being able to do that in the afternoons, and it was a sacrifice. It was a costly commitment. But somewhere into about the third month of school, I recognized all that year I had not used any of my breathing stuff, and it was now fall. Fall was the hardest time of the year for me. From that moment forward, I've never needed it again. Now, some would say, oh, your body matured. No, it didn't. That wasn't it. My body really didn't change too much in a year's period back there. What did happen is faith grew in my heart to receive because I was hearing and hearing and hearing God's word. It took a lot of hearing for me to displace a lifetime of problems breathing. It took a lot of hearing. Many times we just don't commit to the hearing necessary for our faith to grow. We hear and then we want it instead of and hearing. The and hearing part is when I finally make it a part of my life. Sometimes God's word, I want you to understand, it's so quick and powerful and sharper that it's doing a work that you will not pick up on. And that's what happened to me in that instance. I didn't know how much effect God's word was having on me. By hearing and hearing and hearing with these ears, pretty soon I heard it in my heart. Pretty soon God's word worked for me fully and completely. Now, that's nothing short of a miracle to me, but it was receiving something by faith that any believer can do. No person laid hands on me. Nobody prayed and wailed over me, or I didn't fall down in the altar. It was nothing like that. Nothing like that. God's word began to work in me. I think our highest experiences in life are meant to just come by God's word working in us as an individual, where we got that victory just by partnering with Jesus and believing his word, and we received it. People had prayed for me in the past during my childhood because it was very problematic, but I just was, if anything, they made me more anxious and I needed to breathe more medicine. God has a way for those who will believe. Say, well, Pastor, that's good for you. I've got a countless list of things that have happened different ways, but that's the primary way God wants to minister to you, is by you hearing and hearing and hearing his word, and pretty soon your spiritual ears are opened and it goes into your heart. It becomes a part of who you are. John 1 here is talking about that lack of comprehension and the conflict we have. You should expect coming to church here to put you in conflict when you hear something in God's word that is not yet in your life. And you get to choose. You can come back conflicted as long as you want to and say, well, I heard it, but I don't believe it. That's okay. Keep coming to church. Maybe God's word will get to you eventually. Why? That's how everybody is in one area or another. Well, I heard that before. That didn't work for me. You didn't end hearing it. And sometimes it's and hearing, because it's an infinite and hearing. when you study what that means, it means hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing to the umpteenth millionth power. That means sometimes it just takes a lot. For me, it took, 150 hearings, but it's worth it. I learned in that setting that I was making a lifetime investment. That's one reason we encourage people to go to a place like that their first year out of high school. Make a lifetime investment that will give you a return your whole life. Doctors couldn't make me well. I had been to many. They couldn't do it, said it was impossible, said my lungs were damaged. They were wrong. They're perfect. Now, the Word, Jesus, came to us with a mission. I wanted to dwell there a little bit on healing because that's one of the biggest things that people don't understand. They don't understand how to receive their healing. Sometimes things happen quickly. Sometimes they do not. Sometimes we don't get it because we just don't choose to believe it. We accept things as they are. I'll give you some more examples maybe later. But as many as received Jesus, remember, he's the Word. So when you receive Jesus, you do that every time you receive his Word and say, I choose to believe that. Same way we chose to believe he died on the cross to forgive our sins so we'd go to heaven instead of hell. It's believing Jesus the same way, same covenant. To them he gave power to become the sons of God. That sounds pretty amazing. But that word there that is power means he gave us the power to make the right choices, to believe on his word and his name to become his sons. We don't become sons and daughters of God by default because we got saved. We are lined up to become more and more a son and daughter of God by the decisions and choices we make to believe on his word. Jesus isn't automatically your Lord automatically because you said that in your prayer of salvation. We will be presented with conflict after conflict from God's word where we choose lordship or notship. And notship, sometimes it's just life experience saying, well, that can't happen for me. I'm here to displace that lie because the devil used that on me a lot. That can't happen for you. You're an exception because. Well, I learned when the enemy tries that, that means Jesus did make me an exception and I do get to have it. I've learned to not believe the liar, to know that he's telling me the opposite of the truth, and then go find out what does the Bible really say. But as many as received him, Jesus, the light, why did he reference light? Because light pushes out the darkness and we comprehend the truth, see? So whenever you're having trouble getting a hold of something, just don't give up. Begin to say over yourself, no, I walk in the light and it's dispelling all darkness in me and I'm getting this. I'm going to get this. I used to say this till I learned I shouldn't confess this. I'm going to get it if it kills me. Then I quit saying if it kills me, because that doesn't make any bit of sense. Why? I grew up saying stuff like that. Why? That's a stubbornness in me. I learned to take out the ungodly part, and it became faith. Faith has an element of stubbornness to it. I'm not going to give up because God said it. It's true, and he's the highest authority in my life, and he's now living in me, and I'm giving him charge over this piece of my life. When we hear the peace, we can give him charge over it little bit by little bit. Even to them that believe on his name, there's a believing that has to happen on the name and person of Jesus. It doesn't come because you confess it 1,000 times. It comes because you believe on Jesus' name. See, now his name has all authority in it. So when I pray in Jesus' name, he's even responsible to convince my doubt and unbelieving mind. In the scripture, we see examples of people who said, Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. Why? There was a conflict. I choose to want to believe what God's word says is true, but I'm having trouble really believing that. Welcome to the zone of faith. That's what it looks like. Faith chooses to believe and say those things that are not as though they were. Speak them out. We are literally kicking out darkness by doing that. Somebody's got to do it. Don't think that it happens automatically. If there's a lack of comprehension, and it simply means this, if you're not getting something that the Word says is for you, it's a darkness problem. Address the darkness with Jesus, the Word of God. You can come to the altar and somebody can pray for you. That's wonderful. They cannot address your darkness. You have authority over that space. That's you. I had to take ownership in my ignorance. Did you know that's kind of hard sometimes? Because we want to think, well, I'm okay. I've learned to just never say I'm okay, because that can't be right. I'm either doing great in the eyes of God, or I need help. So I quit saying I'm okay. Why? It's sort of a gray area of don't bother me. I don't really want to talk about anything. Now, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. He's talking about those who are born again. This is for people who are born again. This is how we go from being a baby Christian to a full-grown Christian. Not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of the will of God. You are born again by the will of God, and you are now called according to his purpose and his plan, and his purpose and his plan is for you to get everything in the covenant. Amen. But you got to get the getting for yourself, and you will be challenged. And people are challenged on all different levels. I asked the Holy Spirit one time, why do I seem like I'm challenged at every turn? He said, you'll be able to teach people how to overcome all these challenges. Quit complaining. I said, okay, I must not be alone in this. And I've since learned every person has a lot of challenges, just most people won't admit it. What is that spiritual pride? Wrong kind of pride. Now, this power, we said, is the power to make choices to submit to God's authority. You hold the power in your will. I can preach the word and you can choose to believe it or not. But I'm telling you, when you have a hard time believing it, it's because there's a comprehension and darkness problem. And if you'll sit under the teaching of the light long enough, you will get it. If you want God to move in your life in a specific area, get a hold of God's word in that area and saturate yourself with it. You'll begin to become so convinced, you'll know, I've got this. Now, what you can't do is walk away and then become a forgetful hearer. You've got to occasionally revisit that. Every so often and recently, I have been looking again at the healing scriptures, Isaiah 53, 5 and 6, 1 Peter 2, 24, and on and on and on and on. Why? I like walking in a healthier place than I used to. I've learned God's word helps me maintain that. Now, we talk here about the power of believing on Jesus' name. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven and earth and in hell under the earth. So Jesus' name has a lot to do with believing on his name. We have to use that name. We're not just quoting a scripture, but if I want to stand for healing and I'm going to use any of those scriptures I just said, that those scriptures say Jesus bore my sickness and sorrow on the cross, and by his stripes I have been healed. Then I go on to say, Jesus, if I have been healed by you on the cross, then I am healed now. So I see in your word, Lord Jesus, you're my healer. I make you my healer. I'm not my healer. My doctor's not my healer. I'm glad you're giving me enlightenment. I'm glad for my doctor. But you're my healer, and I stand to be the healed because your word says that I am. Then I go through the paces of what does it take to become the healed. If you're running a fever, you might go lay down and take a nap. Some people say, well, you just keep pushing hard and do everything you used to do. I say this, good luck with that. See, God is able to keep only the things we've committed unto him. If we haven't committed it unto him, he's not able to keep it. He's not able to do his word. So I will go back, and instead of just pushing through in the natural, I will be pushy in the spiritual. And I'll go back and then back to Isaiah 53 and use that. And then I'll go back to the Gospels and look at all the places where Jesus healed them all. Then I look at the places where Jesus healed because their faith was great. And I say right out of my mouth, in Jesus' name, my faith is great to receive this healing. And I might be having pain in my body and nothing seemed to change. What am I doing? People say, well, that's brainwashing. No, it isn't. It's using God's word and applying it to my life until I believe it. I had trouble as a youngster understanding the concepts of math, not because I was a dumbbell, but I was dyslexic. I didn't do the right things with the numbers. When finally the fourth grade teacher recognized I had some kind of learning challenge that they had not identified in those days, and she said, tell me out loud how you are doing these problems. And I would tell her, and she said, well, you're just not thinking the right way about this. Think this way about it. Instantly, I got A's in math. Instantly. It wasn't. You don't have a comprehension problem down in your spirit. The comprehension problem's in our mind, where we try to understand God with our brain. You're going to get it in your spirit. What's going to drop down into the inside of you when the teacher, the Holy Spirit, helps you? He's our tutor. So he comes alongside to help us get it. Why, you can't help that you have some areas you can't comprehend any better than I could. I remember going home and saying, you know, to Mom and Dad, why is it I was born with something wrong with me? I can't do math right. Well, there's nothing wrong with you. You don't just work hard enough. Well, I'd sit at the kitchen table every night working on that math and still not get them right. That wasn't the problem. I needed somebody to break down what's wrong in my process and help me process in a way that I'd get the right answer. You have to find that out about you wherever there's comprehension problems. So God's word, we're going to honor in this house and bring it again and again and again. Why? We want you to have results. I want you to have the kind of results that you can enjoy and say, man, I got this in my heart. God forever changed my life. And you'll have testimonies over and over too. Now, healing's not the only thing. There are many things, but it's fresh on my mind today. Now, every word that God gives us has grace attached to it to help us do that word. I want to conjoin two things that are meant to never be separated, God's grace and God's word. His grace means God gives you supernatural help and ability to do what the scripture says to do. Grace is not a reason to not do it and delay. Grace is God's empowerment to get it done when we don't think we can on our own. Grace is the activity of the Holy Spirit making something happen in our heart. Grace is the ability to learn how to believe something we've heard when the facts in our life say otherwise. Grace is the ability to say, God's word is truth. Even though I've not experienced it yet, I'm going to believe this truth and it's going to change my experience. That's the grace of God. Why? The grace that we don't deserve that Jesus paid for on the cross as our substitute. It's substitute power. Let you understand grace clearly this morning in the best way I know how to describe it. It's God giving you Jesus' resurrection power as a substitute for your inability because you choose to believe God's word and stand on it and say, I am having this. That's God's grace. To help you overcome your ability, my ability of unbelief is saying, I haven't seen this. I'm not getting this. Our prayer life of saying, if God, or even when God. Changing all of that, saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm going to receive it right now, and it has nothing to do with my feelings or my thought life. It has to do with God's word. You start doing that, God's word will overrun your feelings and your thought life every time you speak it out of your mouth. But see, we're in a world that will overrun you with circumstance. So what are we dealing with? Displacing circumstances with truth. You could even say facts being displaced by truth. The most common argument I've heard in my life against faith when I'm speaking faith is, well, Pastor, these are the facts. Well, you can make a list of facts a mile long. I won't deny that they're facts. That's a natural reality. But the scripture says, and people get mad. Why do you keep going back to what the scripture says? Because that's better than your list of facts. God says that's the truth. And for me, that's the bottom line, not that list of stuff over there. Then pretty soon, you know what happens? God starts to work my faith to strike off the list of facts over here. Because he's displacing it with truth. Truth is the highest form of anything we can have in this life. It's truth. Why? To set us free. Jesus said so. Now, every word has the grace, every word that comes from God, every scripture has the grace of God to do it. There's no impossibles in God's word. It's there so we will understand with all things, with God, all things are possible. And the word was made flesh. This is the same passage, verse 14. Jesus came in the flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus had to do it. He was the walking word of God, but he had to talk the word of God so that he could live the word of God. And of his fullness, I love the word fullness, we have all received. And grace upon grace, that means even when we think we didn't get it, we got it. We just have to get rid of the darkness so we'll live in the light. We've just got to say, I'm going to let go of my old thinking. I'm going to let go of my training. I'm going to let go of my life experience. I remember saying that to myself at prayer and healing school. I'm going to let go of my past where I couldn't breathe. And I'm going to accept a new standard in my life. And that new standard is coming. While I was learning how to believe God by faith, it took me 1 year and 3 months. I know how long it took me. But it locked in. Was it worth 15 months? It's worth 15 months. It wasn't the only thing I did. I still worked a full-time job, went full-time to school. But it is worth it. Now, and of his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. What does that mean? Every time we hear the word, we get the grace to do it. So whenever we say, I'm not ready for that yet, that's really a lie. That's circumstances. The truth is, we just got the grace to do it when we heard it, if we heard it on the inside. Here's how you know you've got the grace to do it. It drops from your brain into your heart. You say, that's a part of me now. See, nobody can convince me healing isn't for today. Scripture says I might have to call every man a liar and let God be true. So when anybody says to me it's not for today, I just think, poor thing, don't know. But I know the truth is, and I'll usually say it right out of my mouth. No, the truth, the word says, Jesus is my healer and I'm living that. Well, why do you have a snuffly nose? Well, that's what faith looks like. I can get a circumstance of a snuffly nose and I can give it over to the Lord. And I can take an Excedrin in the time being if I want to. And he doesn't condemn me for it. Isn't that good? Isn't it good that God lets us get help everywhere we can? But we want to name him as our healer? See, I'm not against medicine. I'm all for it. But sometimes medicine can't fix something. I have a lot of folks I'm praying for in my life right now that can't fix what's wrong with them. So it's my role, my desire in their life to stir faith in them to receive from the Lord Jesus. Well, I like to see people get all the help they can get. Now, and of his fullness we have all received. Then he says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Notice that Jesus brought grace and truth together. So when we hear the word, we've got to get hold of his grace for that. What does it mean? Holy Spirit, help me get this in my heart. Holy Spirit, convince me this is for me. I remember the interim period, that first year of school, reaching for the meds, saying, Jesus, I thank you, by your stripes I am healed. While I was speaking the words, while I reached into the medicine cabinet. You know, the Holy Spirit never once reached out and slapped me silly for reaching for the medicine. If anything, I felt like he was tender toward me, and he was for me, and he's going to help me, and he wasn't against me. And I remember a few people saying, well, if you're really healed, you wouldn't need that. A couple of them were roommates. I said, you just be quiet about that. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, I was being led by my Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. And he was teaching me what it looked like to come over into faith and get rid of darkness. It's a process nobody can define but Jesus in you. Never let anybody condemn you in the process. You just be saying God's word and you're going to end up moving into believing. And you're going to end up moving into a place where you see what you've been saying. Now, we learn to speak God's word because that's how we receive his life. This is Romans 10. And I'm going back to salvation on purpose to show you this is how we get everything from the Lord. But what saith it? The word, the scripture is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Notice he identifies it's the word of faith when it's also in your mouth, not just in your heart. You won't get what I am showing you, the covenant promises you, by simply believing it. You will not have it till you make it what you say. Jesus couldn't live in your heart just because you believed in him. Many of us believed in him for years from hearing the scripture in a traditional church without knowing there was such thing as a prayer of salvation. I didn't know that. When they presented, you need to pray a prayer of salvation, my little 10-year-old mind almost argued with that. Well, what do you mean? I come to church and I know Jesus. No, he knows us. Scripture taught us this in Isaiah last week. When we put his word in our mouth, he recognizes us. We want to be known by him, not just to know about him. We want him to know us. He knows us by our words. He knows you by your words. You are as mature in God as your words will allow you to be. He identifies our place in the family by our words. He wants our words to be the same thing as His words. And He says, yep, they're mine. They got my DNA. They're talking my talk. Pretty soon they'll be walking my walk. Because the talk comes first in God, not the walk. The talk comes first. So you see, in your Christianity where you're not walking it yet, don't give up. Start talking right. Don't be ashamed of your walk. Be disciplined in your talk. Your talk will fix your walk over time. I promise you, God's word says so. That's His covenant. He said, you want to fix anything? Fix your talk. Then He can, what does He do? The Holy Spirit helps change our walk. I believe that. So that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. There's simple salvation. The tipping point of the Romans road to come to Jesus, where we've led many to the Lord. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that means continually being saved is what salvation means. So then, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and there's the second hearing. And hearing the word of God. So if you don't hear faith preached, I'm going to tell you, you won't live it. Understand that hearing is a part of it. I've heard people say, but I study my Bible. I'm going to warn you, that is not enough. Word doesn't say study your Bible and believe. It says hearing and hearing and hearing and believe. I want you to understand God's instrument is through a preacher, through a person. He's going to anoint a person to break the darkness in you by God's word coming out of their mouth. That's what it's designed to do. That's what my calling is to speak a word that can shatter the darkness in people as they hear it. And they can go, I like the sound of that. I believe I want to walk in the light. What do they apply it. We apply it to our lives and He dispels the darkness. Why? The darkness can't comprehend it. So when we don't get it, we say, all right, Holy Spirit, help me receive this light. Help me get this light. I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to walk in the light. I remember going through, and I still do this from time to time, I'm going to walk in that. Lord, I'm going to walk in the light of that. What is that? Revelation knowledge. That is going to drop down in my heart. Understand, if you walk around preachers enough that preach faith, you'll catch it. Why? Eventually, you're going to be saturated with that light, and whatever darkness is holding you back is going to be driven away from you. That's why you be careful what you hear. Scripture said that we're to give attention to what we hear. You live in a real world, so do I. If we're not careful, we'll be saturated with unbelief. Well, to get rid of unbelief, you got to be saturated with some light again. You might have to at times say, today was a rough day, but tonight's going to be filled with light. And you invest in what it's going to take to break the cycle of not comprehending. Because it really... not comprehending God's word means really, in reality, we didn't get it. We know when we didn't get it. And we learn to recognize when we do get a hold of it. So many times, I'll say this, I've seen people over and over and over again give up on prayer faith. It's because they didn't have the word in their heart enough yet. When we comprehend it, we know there's no talking us out of it. What happens is rather than disciplining our mouth to speak faith, faith is coming out of our mouth without us thinking about it. Now, I want to share Proverbs 3 as we close in a minute, but I want to talk a little bit more about practical faith. Many times the Holy Spirit will bring healing into our life because we believe God's word. Then there's a discipline to walk in divine health. Yeah, I said something to Josh. We were together Friday. I said something to him. It's 192 now. I was referring to a weight that I had attained. Now, that didn't sound like any great revelation to him, but it marked something for me. Something's happened where my back is better, everything feels better at a certain threshold. And I received healing in my back way back many years ago, laying on my sofa in Tennessee crying out to God because I couldn't go to work. I couldn't get up and walk. I had to learn how to walk again. I had to use a walker and then a cane, and it took the better part of a year to be able to get my mobility back. Doctor said it wouldn't happen without fusing my spine. And fusing my spine might cause me to never be able to walk again, and on and on and on and on and on. I received my healing laying on the couch, not feeling very faith-filled, But then I opened my Bible and I started studying again the healing scriptures. And I began to talk to my helper, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I know why I'm in this shape. I've overworked my body, and my body's 130, 150 pounds bigger than it ought to be. 135 to be exact. Well, I knew the number. I knew it in my heart when I started to pray. I don't share this for people to feel conviction about. Wait, I'm telling you part of what faith has done in me, and it took time, you see. I had to be convinced of some things from God's word that I could have whatsoever I saith. Even though my job physically had hurt my body, I mean, I worked my body into the ground and I didn't manage my body, and it was way too heavy for what I was trying to do physically, and I'd nearing 40 years old right before my 40th birthday. And I remember repenting, Lord, I've not been a good manager of this body, and it's your temple, and you probably don't really like living in here right now because this is a broken down temple. In fact, it feels like it's on fire. And I remember praying, starting to pray. You know, the Holy Spirit lifted every sense of condemnation immediately. And I had every reason to take responsibility and say, I have done this to myself. Instead, I said out of my mouth, this is what Satan has in mind, but I'm not going to learn his plan. I know what the word of the Lord says for me, and Jesus died for me even in my stubborn state of mismanaging myself, and he rose from the dead to give me a new kind of life. Now, we're 20 years later, nearly. I've experienced transformation from what should have been a lifetime of agony. That doesn't mean I still once in a while don't have pain or don't have an issue with my back, but I've not had any operations. I'm physically have more strength than I've ever had in my life, and I'm enjoying a life without back pain almost all the time. Now, some would say, well, you can't say you're healed until it completely goes away. Malarkey on that. I was a cripple on the couch and then in a walker. Don't tell me what I can't say. Why? See, when you've been there and God's done something for you, the little bit that's left isn't going to disqualify the whole bunch that you just got. That's what being saved is about. Nobody's going to tell you you're not saved, even though there's a few areas where you've still got some darkness. All you got to do is get the light. And I'm going to tell you something. It's worth fighting to get the bit of light you need. It's worth fighting for that bit. Why? The enemy has a stronghold there. I learned the enemy had a stronghold in lying to me about my physical ability and that I would never regain it. That I had given too much to the job. That I had waited too long. That I had the wrong genetics. On and on and on and on and just on and on. You have to displace that with light. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Whatever's in your heart, you want to displace with the light. You'll enter a new journey. It's going to end in a testimony. One day I'll really just probably take the time to write down the whole testimony. Because I was telling somebody this a few weeks ago. I said, Pastor, I don't think people believe you. I said, well, then I need to go back and try to dig up pictures. I don't know if they took any. I didn't want any being taken then. You know, imagine me 135 pounds more than I am on a walker going down the driveway. That's what I was doing. And it was a half a mile from the gate to the road, and it took me an hour and a half one way, an hour and 45 minutes to get back. That's how bad a shape I was. Nobody can tell me Jesus doesn't mean what he says in the word. Now, there were things to do in the process. Medicines, no, I didn't take pain meds. I did, I think, 3 days, I'm not sure. The Holy Spirit began to move. Well, I started to say out of my mouth. My boss called. He said, now, Doug, how's this going to play out? I said, I'll be back at work. Don't worry about it. In the meantime, I want to set up an office in my house, and we'll set up the computer and do things. And that's what we did for, I don't know, weeks and weeks and months. I have to go back and look at the dates so I could do my job. But I got out there every day wincing in pain, saying out of my mouth, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. It was a tenth of a mile, the circle drive around the house. That's where I started. I got halfway, and there was a door to go in the basement because the cars were parked in the basement under the house. In the back of the house, you go in the basement. I got back there, and everything in me said, go to that door. Holler, and they'll open the garage door. I thought, well, then I can't get up those stairs. I got to walk all the way around the front of the house. How will I climb those stairs to get back up in the... So I just kept, Jesus, by your stripes. I sounded pitiful. I looked pitiful. Nobody would have believed it if they saw me. Nobody would have thought I'd made it. If anybody looked out the windows, they'd all come running out to help Dad, looking like he's going to fall down in the ground. You know what? Nobody came but Jesus. Well, that's who I called on. What happened? He helped me do that. Did it hurt? Sure it hurt. Nearly impossible. What did I do? I got up the next day, said, I'm going to do it again. But when I got up the next day, my body hurt more than it did the day before when I walked around the tenth of a mile. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've recovered something recently, too. I got out there on the walker. I said, I'm going all the way around again. I told Lucy in the house, and I'm going all the way around. No matter if I fall down or what, don't come out and get me. Just leave me be. Well, why are you doing that? I said, I've got to do it. Well, it was my confession of faith. It was my telling the enemy, I'm resisting you, and I'm going to obey God. See, some would say, well, that's just logic. No, it's not. Logical was to fly out somewhere to a major hospital and have an operation. That's logic. Insurance would have paid for the whole thing in those days. I had Cadillac coverage. Wasn't a matter of money. Wasn't a matter of any of that. It was a matter of I choose to believe God. Why? It's way back there in my 18th year, I went to prayer and healing school and it got in my heart. And I turned there first. That's what I want you to get out of today. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray with you. The altar will be open. I've asked Pastor Josh and Rihanna to come and man the altar. I'm going to be in the back. I want to greet people I don't get to see in the altar sometimes. That's just why I want to see people more. All right, that's what's in my heart. So I'm just telling you, that's my strategy. So if you go running out the back, you wait till I get there so I get to see you for a minute. And if you want to tell me something or want prayer from me back there, I'll do it, but it'll be brief because I want to see as many as I can today. We appreciate your prayers. A lot going on in our lives right now. But Heavenly Father, I thank you for this congregation. Father, you've brought us together to understand your ways, even though they're higher than our ways. You want us to know your thoughts, even though sometimes we don't comprehend them. We know that you're opening up our hearts to receive the truth of your word. We know that your Holy Spirit is our individual helper. He knows what our individual learning disability is, and he works with us to overcome it. Holy Spirit, you have helped me overcome again and again. So I ask you, sir, to do your work in this congregation, to help us overcome wherever there's a stronghold, wherever there's a bit of darkness, wherever there's a bit of doubt and unbelief. Help us receive your word for the good. Jesus, to receive everything that you paid for on the cross while we're here. Jesus, for our healing now and then walking in divine health, listening to your Holy Spirit for what a disciple of Jesus ought to be living like. What a disciple of Jesus ought to do to stay in that healthy place. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you also give us a wealthy place. When we look at your word, sometimes we look at our circumstances and there's a conflict. I'm now thankful for those conflicts because we know in the conflict, that's where your Holy Spirit comes in like a flood to push out the darkness, to push out the doubt and unbelief and make believers out of me. Now, Father, thank you for making us more and more believers in all of your word. Father, I know that there's conflict between people. People in this house, people in their own house, people in the workplace. You're the God of restoring us back from all conflict. So, Father, I speak into the darkness of those conflicts in Jesus' name, that the light come in and the light overcome. The light expose what needs to be exposed, but the darkness will flee and what lives in the light will remain and there will be full restoration. Father, I thank you that today you're doing, you're loosing. You're bringing your power to do miracles because we choose to believe your word. we will be and remain the family of faith. Now, Father, thank you for the great and mighty things you've called us to do this year. We'll do it as a church. Doesn't matter what we see or what we hear, we'll do those things as a church. We'll break the threshold of earthly limitation by the power of your Holy Spirit. And those things that seem impossible with men will not only be possible with God, we'll see them through in Jesus' name. And that word's true through and through for every person here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.